I got a phone call from my friend's dad, Carl. He called me because Lori, one of my best friends, it was the last day on her job today, so I sent her a balloon bouquet. And he goes, the thing got here. He goes, it takes up the whole house. It goes from the couch to the ceiling, and it's huge. And I didn't know what I was sending. They said, give me a price point. So I gave him a price point.
I'm a little bit afraid to ask what price point you set. $900?
No. I said, just keep it around. You're laughing. Keep it. I'm like, just keep it. You know, 50 is good. And they're like, oh, that'll make a nice bouquet.
That seems like so, it might be a lot for a balloon bouquet. Do you have any idea how much balloons cost?
I know. She was really excited, and they were so nice. This business is just the nicest business.
A balloon. You know, a balloon up. Is like pennies. A balloon, pennies.
Well, they delivered it and everything, and I couldn't be happier.
I mean, they're like condoms. You should have just sent them condoms. No.
Anyway, but he's like, it's hilarious. He goes, there's a big heart balloon that looks like a big pillow, and it says, congratulations. And there's another one that says, happy retirement. She's just leaving her job. I think that's hilarious.
But they probably used all the balloons they have. So there's probably something about a bris in there. Happy bris.
Happy bris. Happy birthday. So
I hope things cut your way today.
So that's why I was late. I was talking to Carl because I just love him.
Wait, that's why you wait? I thought you couldn't get up.
I was like, I couldn't get up, and then the phone rang, and it was Carl. I thought it was you. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I answered the phone like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, wait, what? No, I got the balloons. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay.
I sent you like six text messages.
I know. I was sound asleep, and my phone was, I don't know where the hell. It was in my hand. It wasn't even vibrating. If it was, I was just gone, man. I was just done.
Did you say it was in your hand?
Yes.
You were asleep with your phone in your hand?
Yes. That's how I woke up this morning.
That is a very scary thought.
I know. I'm Catherine, the worst.
What would happen? What would happen if you put your phone down for a week?
Misha said it gives you like hits of dopamine or something, like when you're looking at it all the time.
Yeah, that's a popular conception. I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know what's true. But
it would explain your deeply disturbing relationship with your phone.
Yeah, I think I couldn't sleep last night, and so I
so you
fell
picked
asleep.
Up your phone?
Yeah. I picked up my phone.
No, that seems like a completely reasonable thing to do. And now you're looking at your phone, so the sarcasm
I'm looking at my
voice
phone.
Was completely lost on you.
So I was looking for the name of the balloon business.
You have to have your friend send you a picture.
Okay, well, and then we'll make it like I'll show you. Yeah, I can't wait.
And hopefully he has one of the new iPhones or one of the new smartphones that has an ultra super wide lens so he can get the whole thing in the picture.
Isn't that funny? So that's why I was late.
I think we need to stop and really consider this for a moment. What would happen if you lived without your phone for a week?
Oh, I think I would go through withdrawal. I really do. Because I become so dependent on it. I never wanted to be this person, and now I'm this person.
But why do you really need it? What do you need it for? You don't really need it, though, do you?
Yeah, I think I do.
Why?
Well, I look up stuff all the time. People text me like nonstop. I'm on it with different people all day
long. They can call you.
Yeah, no one calls. And when I call people and leave messages, I mean, I have to retrain everybody in my life.
Or, you know, you just don't talk to people for a week.
I already don't do that for 2 years.
Think about how much better this podcast would be if you spent more time on the podcast and less time texting your, quote, friends.
I spend time on the podcast.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
I know.
It could be better.
It could always be better. I want to make it better.
This is the point that I make over and over again.
Yes. Like,
you know, the Ukrainian painter we talked about a couple weeks
ago
who didn't have a TV or anything like that. So
she painted.
Bored. She just painted her house, you know?
Right.
If you have a smartphone, you never get around to doing stuff like that because your attention is distracted by stuff you will never remember 5 years from now.
Oh, I don't remember any of this. I barely remember the name of the balloon store that sent me the balloons to Minnesota.
I mean, if we weren't making the podcast, what else would you be making now? At least we have a podcast record of our lives.
Right. What would I be making?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's scary.
I know. I was thinking that could be a soap opera. The podcast of your life? No, podcasting live, something like that.
Oh, why don't we start that? We'll do a YouTube, like, webtoon. I don't even know what a webtoon is. It sounded good.
It's either too early or maybe that's not as good of an idea as I thought. because it just went blank.
The podcast of our lives.
You're better at the wordplay than I am, so maybe you can come up with something.
We'll work on that. That's another thing in the can. What I would do, let me finish the story, the can.
Well, when you say can, I think of the toilet for some reason.
I know, because I when I listened to that podcast again. Because that's what you're thinking of? No, I thought, oh my God, I spent $900. I don't even want to go. I don't want to revisit that discussion.
You don't want to go? You got to go, okay? Don't hold it in.
I don't want to revisit that. It's
very unhealthy for you to hold it in.
Oh my God. Anyway, what was I saying?
You know, you really just need a hole in the dirt in the backyard.
James.
Catherine.
No. My backyard is full of rocks. Oh, I should send you. I made this video after, like, this is a segue into, like, the rocks. Okay, anyway, I had.
Why are you segueing into rocks?
Well, you said a hole in the backyard. I can't dig in my backyard because it's full of, like, quarter minus granite. I didn't want any more lawn several years ago when I first, you know, God. And so I know. So I took up all the lawn, and then the guy evidently laid down plastic. I didn't know the process.
So
I know. And then they put these flipping rocks down that very same day. The very same day.
Yeah.
It rained like a MF-er. It rained and rained and rained like it doesn't rain in Phoenix. And I went out there and the entire lawn was like Lake Michigan.
Well, it wasn't a lawn anymore, was it?
No, there was nowhere for the water to go. So I was supposed to go out with Cheryl and I made this video. I'm like, oh my God, I came in, I was all wet. And I literally did a video. I don't know why I did this. That should be my first TikTok. It's hilarious. I'll send it to you. And I'm like, oh my God, there's rain. I ran out to find a pitchfork or something. I wanted to like drill holes into the plastic to have like drainage. Anyway, I'll send you the clip.
Thanks for contributing to the flooding of Phoenix by having no drainage.
No, we're in a drought. We're going to be in a drought forever.
Okay, this is the problem, though. It still rains, and it still rains hard sometimes. And when you don't have any places for the earth to soak up the water, it just causes more runoff, and then it floods.
I know. I need to take that plastic out.
I don't know if this is something that people need to hear, but flooding is actually a big problem in Phoenix, and it's a big problem in desert areas in general because the soil becomes so hard and unporous. If it hasn't rained for a long time, it's like baked in. That
it is
when
baked.
You get the downpour, it can't soak in immediately, and it just runs off and into people's houses.
Yes, it does.
Thanks, Catherine. I know who to sue now.
Just don't sue me. I have nothing.
I don't know how you're going to take that plastic up without taking all the rocks out.
I think I'm going to do it incrementally, and I'm not paying anyone for it. It's going to be my job.
I should have your father do it.
Oh, my father can't even stand up straight at this point.
Well, he doesn't have to stand up to do it. He can be on his, knees.
Bend over. Okay. And where are we going with it? This podcast has really devolved into what?
It's what is okay. This? I'm probably going to cut all this out and just wind up with 3 minutes left for the past 20. Anyway.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you could just slump into your sofa and become a goblin and not worry about the whole
rest of
the
world. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, God,
okay.
I hate you.
I sent you some articles. And I saw that, and I know you took great issue with the Goblin article.
I took great issue with that article. That really cut me the wrong way.
This article is, I thought it was kind of delightful and kind of stupid, but I knew it would trigger you, perhaps, so that's why I send this stuff to you.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
So we'll link.
I don't know that we have a healthy relationship. We should have Misha back on to see if we have a healthy relationship.
We should have Misha. Well, Misha wants to be back on. She's been busy. So anyway, the article was in, The Guardian?
Yeah.
Yeah, slobbing out and giving up. Why are so many people going goblin mode? That just caught my eye. Go ahead, talk about it.
Well, you think you're a goblin, but I don't think you are at all.
No, I think I'm a hermit.
You're a bit of a hermit, you know, and you like to pull away from your life somewhat because of the problems that you're experiencing, but that's not really... See, one of the problems I have with this is that it's basically a slob mentality. And the people who are espousing it basically say you can turn it on and you can turn it off.
Right.
Which is kind of stupid. The first trigger was the guy that they talked to or the person, I don't remember who it was. He said, it's a complete lack of aesthetic, which is complete nonsense. You can't have a bucket. Choosing not to have an aesthetic
is an aesthetic.
Is an aesthetic decision. Right. Maybe that's too much reductionist, but I make a lot of, quote, anti-aesthetic decisions, especially when I'm out cycling because other cyclists give me looks like, what the hell is that kid wearing? Anyway, it's still a decision, right?
Right.
But the funniest thing is in the article, it continues on and says, the Goblin Mode umbrella can encapsulate many kinds of aesthetics. Okay, so is it about aesthetics or is it not about aesthetics? I don't get it.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. It's about aesthetics.
It's about aesthetics, but I think there was
more. It always
is. Yeah.
It's always about aesthetics.
Right. Right.
Especially if you're willing to talk to someone about your lifestyle choices. If it's not about aesthetic, you wouldn't be talking about it.
Well, they're really trying to make an argument because at the beginning of the article, they compared and contrasted it with cottagecore. There was really that like nostalgic, what kind of an internet aesthetic about rural life, you know, the interpretation, some faux interpretation of real rural
life.
Well,
it's not necessarily faux. It's
like Martha Stewart-ish, idealized.
It's an idealized version of what you want your house to be. I don't think there's any problem with having idealized versions out there. It's like, this is what your house can look like. It's something to aspire to.
Right, right. It was kind of romanticized, though. But, you
and
know.
And this is, as opposed to goblin mode, which is something to despire to. I don't know what the opposite of aspire
right.
to is. But, you know, it's like, it's kind of giving up, but it's like, playing and giving up.
I think it's
but
playing
they said,
and giving up.
They said the trend represents a direct departure from the hyper-curated cottagecore
right.
influence of the early pandemic days. And I'm like, in the early pandemic days, do you people hear yourself talking?
I know. It's like we're 2 years into this. It's not exactly...
Well, it's like it's ancient history or something. What are you talking about? It just seems
well,
nonsense.
Of course it's ancient history because Americans have a 2-second attention span. So 2 years is like 200 to them. To us.
Well, exactly. It's like if it didn't have, it's so hyper-focused, self-focused.
Yes.
Self-focused on oneself. It's another quote was, everyone's just kind of wild and insane right now. And I'm thinking, wait, you know, this is the world. The world is always like this. There's no point in time when things were better or things were easier. You think life was easy in the 80s? I guess you don't remember what it was like to have AIDS come on the scene and not have any idea how it was spread or any idea how it was killing people or any idea of how to treat it. You want some shit. You should go back to those days.
Yeah, that was some shit.
Those were not easy days.
No.
And then the 90s, oh, we had a little war in Iraq. Just mm-hmm. a little little war there. It's always something. And the fall of the Soviet Union was kind of a big thing, too.
It was.
Every day is a crazy day that we have to figure out how to deal with. There's nothing special about our current circumstances. The world is crazy. The world is always crazy. There's nothing special about it right now.
But
it's not any harder or worse than it's ever been.
As I read this article, I mean, instead of just critiquing the article, they were talking about it as being a logical progression to nihilism. I mean, they really went off board here. It was craziness. But I started thinking about it. I thought, this is a ridiculous article. Yeah, they're speaking to something. You know, we have to dramatize it to get anyone's attention in this country. It has to be dramatic. And they want.
Well, thankfully, nobody's paying attention to it because the numbers are very clear. As you're the author and you're researching these numbers and mm-hmm. you see these numbers, this is when you say, oh, I guess I shouldn't bother writing about this because no one's paying attention to it. Because the on social media, it's only got like 360 interactions. It's 1,000.
360,000. Right. Yeah, it's not really a thing. It's not
versus,
really a thing.
Quote, the that girl meme, which is, you know.
Millions.
How to look your best.
Mm-hmm.
3 billion. Not millions.
Oh, billion.
3
right,
billion.
Right, that girl. And they're like, I'll never be that girl.
The goblin isn't even a rounding error in that.
Right.
So no one's actually paying attention to this, thankfully. But it is a bunch of kind of narcissistic little assholes who are basically cosplaying depression because they are living as depressed people would live, but depressed people don't have the option of not living that way.
Right. You can't turn it on and off.
I think that's what really got under my skin.
Uh-huh.
They're cosplaying depression, and that's kind of grotesque.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's like cosplaying if you had AIDS. It's like, oh my gosh, well, what would it be like if I had AIDS? This is how I would live. No, it's not because you could turn it off.
Right. No, it was silly. You know, I shared this with a couple friends. I'm like, what do you think? And one of them was like, I think I've been living like this beyond 2 years ago. And it's like, yeah, you know, I totally
do get it. I don't think so.
It.
I don't think most. I mean, I understand being relaxed and kind of letting yourself go a little bit. But this goes beyond the pale.
Right. Well,
and part of that is a little bit of depression. I think you could admit to yourself that, you know, you've had a hard time and sometimes you slip outside of being able to take care of yourself properly. And that's called depression.
Yeah. Don't you go into goblin mode. I just think it sounds kind of cute, but I mean, you know, with a bad breakup or you lose a job or you know, something doesn't go your way. I mean, you would sit on the couch and eat ice cream for 4 days. I mean, I don't know. I might do that.
I don't like ice cream and I've never had a bad breakup. What is it? How do people have bad? I don't understand that concept. I'm too pretty for that.
You're too pretty. You are. But anyway, let's stop critiquing.
I got dumped. Shut up. I got dumped.
I got dumped.
Everyone gets dumped.
Right. Yeah. Even, you know, if you're the dumper, it still hurts sometimes. There are always questions. But I went a bit deeper, James. Let's delve into this just a bit more and let the article aside. Use it as a touch point. I started thinking about this, and maybe I think too much because all I have is time, you know. But I thought, you know, what point are they trying to make? And I thought a different take on the article, if I was to write it, I would compare and contrast it with Kubler-Ross's Five Stages of Grief. And I would make it the five stages of the pandemic because they're really talking about the pandemic. Is they're talking about their aesthetic choices. So instead of denial, which was Kubler-Ross's first one, I would say it was like disbelief and confusion. And all of these things lasted like a nanosecond. Instead of anger, for me, it was horror and then just abject fear. And instead of the bargaining, it was just like more confusion, more fear, just a disorganized coping started, which equals the hoarding that they attributed to goblining.
Well, that was a kind of a subsection of the gobbling. But I don't know that you need to really rename the stages of grief, as you said. I think you can probably map them directly onto how you respond. Now, of course, I think it's very synthetic and it's kind of an overlay. And if you put that over any kind of response, you can kind of figure out where it lines up.
Uh-huh.
You know, our brains don't really have good ways to manage these things. So if you give us a structure, we want to use it and put it in place.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's an interesting comparison. Like I said, I don't think you have to really stretch it that far. I think you can just use it directly as is and apply it to, you know, disbelief was, you say disbelief, but what was it in the original?
Denial.
Denial and bargaining.
Yeah, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I don't think we've accepted anything. I think we're in resignation. There's no acceptance of this.
No, I think a lot of people have finally accepted it.
Really?
They did. You know, they stayed home. They changed their lives. They changed their little houses into beautiful cottages.
And then turned into goblins on their beautiful couches. Now, maybe we all did go through that, you know, and it was just kind of not fun, but like people went through metamorphoses.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be, no, let's not say fun, but.
It was not fun. No, never.
There are stages of how we deal with things.
Right. And I think some of the depression equals the acting out and all of those, all that nonsense. And to me, it's resignation. I'm over it, but I'm still super cautious. But did you do anything weird during that time or during this whole time? Did you go goblin in any fashion?
No, I just tried to handle it as it came. But it took a while to recognize what was happening and how to deal with it.
Right.
And you debate everything you do.
Right. Exactly.
If you're intelligent and think about it.
Right. Well, I think they focused a lot on a negative thing, like the hoarding and the lack of hygiene and eating weird stuff on crackers and whatever. And sure, did I buy a freezer I never used? Sure. You know.
Yeah, but you were going to do that anyway, though. That's not unusual for you.
Yeah. I mean, did I stock up on beans and quinoa and oatmeal? Yeah. Why? I don't. Whatever. Did I wear the same three pairs of yoga pants for 4 days in a row? Yeah, I mean, for 2 years now, everything's bleach stained. Yeah, I've been there.
Wait a second.
What?
I only have 3 pairs of pants. Does that make me a goblin?
It could make you a minimalist.
I mean, I have a few more pairs, but I really, during the winter, I switched to pants, and I only have 3 pairs of pants.
I need new clothes. So I disagree with the article, if we want to get back to the article. No, I mean, because now I'm not looking to go more gross. I'm looking to replace my wardrobe that I purged at the end of 2019.
That's the point, is if it's slovenly, it's bad for you. It's bad for you to be in goblin mode. That's not healthy for you. Don't do that shit. Don't make it look like something you want to do. Don't make it something desirable to do. Don't make it popular.
It's not.
Avoid that. You know, come on. I mean, let's be honest and adults and say, if you're not taking care of yourself, that's bad. That's bad.
That is bad. Avoid that. Yeah, they actually dissected goblin mode into like good and bad mode. I mean, whatever. But
yeah, they try to make it good and bad. There's no good mode. I mean, you can relax and, you know, let things slide. But, you know, you don't always have to be uptight. And nothing always has to be perfect. But that doesn't mean you have to go, quote, goblin mode. Anyway, I think we beat that.
I think we beat that goblin. But, you know, getting back to the pandemic, let's just, I do want to say.
Again?
I do want to say that is, you know, the goblin mode be damned. It's like I started thinking about, you know, why be so negative? It's like, did anything good happen during the pandemic?
Lots of good things if you're rich.
And lots of good things if you sat right in this house. I mean, I became a way better cook, way more creative, and a way better baker. I learned all kinds of stuff about home maintenance and cars I never gave a rip about because everyone took care of stuff for me. And when you really don't have the capacity, well, I mean, it was so scary and people weren't reaching out or they didn't want to come in your house. No one wanted to do anything for a while. And so I did stuff myself. I just YouTubed stuff and did it.
Well, I guess the only thing I've gotten good at is remote podcasting.
Yeah, we started the podcast.
We didn't do that remotely, though.
No, we did. Not initially. So I actually like doing it remotely because I could just roll out of bed late. And
you are so sloppy.
I'm such a
little goblin. I'm more of an orc. I want to go orc mode.
Well, write an article.
Orc mode is more destructive, though. I just want to smash things.
Oh, I don't even know what an orc is. It sounds cute.
It's like a goblin, but more dangerous.
Oh, when you said orc, I saw like a narwhal in my head.
It's like a goblin in a leather jacket.
Oh. Why did I see a sea creature with a horn?
Because you're dumb.
Oh, God.
Because you're a girl. You don't understand orcs and ogres and goblins.
No. Anyway, so much for the podcast about art. Let's just goblin out, man. I got to go get some coffee in me.
I mean, do you think people in Ukraine have the option of doing goblin mode right now?
I enjoy this country. I have a lot of respect for it, you know, but there are things that we do get wrong. And I think, you know, part of what blinds us to the rigors and the other challenges of the world is just our absolute, I don't know.
How easy we have it.
We have it easy. I mean, we're so easy. We're bloated and we're lazy. And, you know, they don't even care.
It's not necessarily lazy. I mean, hardworking people can still have no idea how easy we have it here.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that people aren't hardworking. I'm saying lazy is an energetic quality. It's like there's not, when things just are easy and everything's there. I mean, we've just had a lot of blessings in this country.
It's not a question that it's easy. It's just here in the United States, we have so many fewer barriers and so many.
Thank you.
So many fewer bad things that can mm-hmm. happen to us. The thing is that people really don't understand how lucky we are to have something called the rule of law.
Right.
People don't, you know, people take that for, they have no idea how important that is to society. Because we have that basis, we actually trust one another. We go out there and if you want to make a deal with someone, you just assume that they're going to uphold their end of the bargain. That's not, obviously sometimes we get scammed. That happens. But it's so much more rare here than it is throughout the rest of the world. You know, the politicians lie. Yes, okay, but generally they do what they do what you know they're going to do, right? You know what to expect with them. They're not out completely for themselves, and they can't be. They can't just steal from the government unless, you know, there's certain people. But generally speaking, the government isn't fleeced by the people in the government, and that again, that is very different from most places in the world.
Yet, I always say yet. I've seen this country in a different light since 2015. I don't want to get off on that rant. It just gets too depressing. But I think in terms of our, I'm blanking at words, but we do have a lot of abundance in this country. And I think the abundance is what makes us lazy. It makes us sometimes less compassionate, I think, as a whole.
I think that's a better point. I want to push back against the lazy part again, but
maybe lazy isn't the right word, but it's kind of this, when I think of Americans, it's like a lack of compassion. It's like we have this tunnel vision. And everything isn't like this everywhere else. And I've not traveled extensively. I'm pretty much a homebody.
You don't have to travel extensively. You just have to read the news to see, you know, what governments.
Right.
Like Russia. Russia has tremendous wealth in its gas and its natural resources. But do you think the Russians see that? No. The 3,000 or so oligarchs, all of that wealth has gone up to them. Putin is one of the richest people in the world, or at least he was before two weeks ago.
Yes, yes.
You know, Obama, Clinton, former presidents of the United States are not the wealthiest people in the world because they didn't steal. If they had stolen from the United States the way Putin steals from Russia, they would be 10 times wealthier than Putin. But we don't tolerate that kind of stuff here. That's just not the way our system works. Now, Trump, you know, skimmed off the top everywhere he could, and most of that was because the rules that regulate the president weren't written to restrict those kinds of abuses because we never imagined someone like that would be elected into that office. Those kind of rules do apply to congresspeople and to lots of other different levels of government, but not the president because, again, we didn't foresee that having someone like that in that office.
But who foresaw anything? It's like I never realized until like the 2016 election, you know, how our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, to me just seemed like more of a gentleman's agreement that people would stand by. Oh, you know,
but it is, isn't it? That's the whole concept.
Well, that was right, the whole concept, right? But that is also, is that a strength? And, you know, there's always two sides of a coin. And look what happened, like when they can shred it and manipulate it and use it as a weapon. And I mean, we can, that's a whole other 40-minute segment.
That's the key problem, though. America only works if we all agree to the rules.
Right.
If we get people who decide that they're not going to agree to the rules, they're going to scam and destroy the system.
Correct.
And the system can maintain a certain level of that. Mm-hmm. Like Trump being a jerk as a businessman, mm-hmm. the system can weather that. Mm-hmm. But it can't weather that as him being the head of one of the major parties. It can't weather that because eventually it breaks down and everybody is just going to go in and get whatever they can for themselves. And then you're going to wind up with bridges that fall down. Putin is reaping the seeds that he sowed.
Right.
He set up a government in Russia that was all about whatever I can get. Mm-hmm. Take what you can get. So there is just endemic theft within the government. So when he sends $1 billion over to the Russian military to rebuild it, which is what they were trying to do for the past 20 mm-hmm. years, it all gets stolen. And it winds up they don't actually have the equipment to do what they want to do now. And but Putin doesn't realize that because people are saying, oh, yeah, sure, we've upgraded our tanks. Well, you know, no, they haven't. They've just pocketed the money and run. This is what happens. You wind up with what was initially the strongest military in the world. The Russian military at the end of the USSR was the strongest military in the world. Now it can't even beat a very small neighbor. It can't even defeat Ukraine. It is embarrassment. And that's exactly because the structure is kleptocracy. People, you know, they're just stealing it. And that's, you know, you can't build a successful society that way. And so goblin mode leads to the destruction of the United States. You kids happy now?
Now we've solved kleptocracy.
No, we haven't solved it. We've just identified it.
We never solve anything. I will update you on my house real quick. My locks failed. And I do want to give a shout out to...
Wait. How did your lock fail?
I don't know. I took my parents to have their eyes examined. I should have taken myself to have my head examined. There was a lock that was kind of sticking. And as I was saying to Dad, don't pull the door shut. Blam. We were locked out of the house. I had to call a locksmith. They had to drill the lock out to get us in the house. So I had the guy come out and put new locks on the doors.
Wait, you got locked in your house because one door was locked?
Yes.
You don't have any other doors you can access the house through?
Well, because another lock in the back had also failed that I wasn't aware of.
Okay.
And then the
front... Okay, it sounds like you've gone goblin mode on your locks.
Yeah, and the front door was locked with like some little, not a deadbolt, but like an internal thing that like you flap over. And so even though we got the locks open on that one door, we couldn't open it. We would have had to bust the door down. So within literally 20 minutes, Anderson Lock and Safe was out here drilling out my locks. They were absolutely delightful to work with. Thank you so much to Jared for coming out twice. He changed all my locks. And I have functional locks.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being too fussy, but you know, you should keep your locks maintained.
You know, there was so much. Who knew? James, this is all new to me. This is 24 months.
Oh, come on. How old are you?
I'm old. I will never admit it. I never took care of anything. I was a party girl, man. I just went to work. I went to happy hour.
Must be so nice.
I just didn't. And now I'm like a house frau and I'm doing all this shit.
Well, it's about time you grew up.
Oh, my God. And, you know, so thanks, Jared. Again,
you know, I try to be understanding, but come on, take responsibility for some. You look around and take care of your stuff. I mean, how hard is it to make sure you can open your door?
Well, I never thought about it, James, until I couldn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You need to grow up a little.
Until I couldn't. Oh, I'm...
exactly. That's the problem. You got to think ahead a little bit. Maintenance is a lot cheaper to do than trying.
Well,
to, you
know, I've now engaged in all kinds of stuff. So anyway, thank you again to Anderson Lock and Safe. Good local business, and I highly recommend them.
I don't honestly know if this is a good tip or not.
What?
But it's what I've been doing for years. I hit my locks with a little WD-40 once in a
while. Yeah, he showed me he showed me a little thing to spray in them every couple months.
No, WD-40. People can badmouth as much as they want. Oh, that's not really a lubricant. Well, you know, it's not. It's to displace water. That's the main thing that gets rid of the squeak. Mm-hmm. Usually that's because you're getting rid of the water. You're pushing the water out with the chemicals that you're pushing in. So it's a good cleaner. It breaks stuff down. But guess what? There is actually a little bit of lubricant in there. It's not a lot of lubricant. Mm-hmm. If you need something seriously lubricated, you hit it with WD-40 to clean it out first, and then you hit it with lubrication. But if you do it regularly enough, it's enough lubrication.
That's what she said. Did I just say that?
Oh my God. Well, I guess there goes our G rating. Anyway.
Sorry.
WD-40. If your lock is a little bit, even a little bit sticky, just hit it with WD-40. Like the padlocks we have on the gates, I'd use it on there probably two or three times a year because it's out in the heat and they were crappy master locks anyway.
Oh, this is
crappy. They didn't work very well to begin with.
This whole thing's crappy.
My favorite lock, Catherine, is a dummy lock. It looks like a master lock. It looks like a big tough lock. Uh-huh. It's not actually locked.
Oh.
You don't need a key to open. It just pulls right open.
Oh, now you told us.
The genius of this, Catherine, is that if someone passes by and sees a lock, anybody who's, you know, going to be put off by a lock, is going to say, oh, there's a lock, and just keep on going. Whereas someone who really wants to get through, they see a master lock, and they say, I can pick that literally in 3 seconds with a toothpick.
Oh.
Because master locks suck. But this lock is perfect because you never need a key for it, and it's going to stop the people who really aren't going to get through, but it's not going to stop anybody who... Actually, you know what? It's going to slow down a real thief because they're going to try to pick it and not realizing that they don't have to pick it, and they get confused and probably walk away.
Okay.
So it's probably the best lock. The best lock is no lock.
Oh, utopia.
That's so I'm so dumb.
Where have we gone?
I think the point at which the intellectual level of the show drops to this point is a good point to end.
Yeah, let's get out of this.